All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. Yes, I am Jay Taylor, talking to you from New York City, the borough of Queens, to be exact. It is the 29th day of September, 2020. And I do always like to thank you for listening to this show and making it one of the more popular shows in the business on the business channel, the Voice America Business Channel. Always encourage you to send along your questions to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Any comments you might have, good, bad, or indifferent, we like to hear from you. We do always want to thank our sponsors, the mining companies that make this show economically viable, Benchmark Metals, NV Gold, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Novo Resources, Sitka Gold Corp., and Lion One Metals are this week's sponsors. Before I begin talking about today's show, I want to suggest that this pullback in the price of gold and silver is an opportunity for investors who were not listening to this show back in 2016 when Michael Oliver's proprietary momentum and structural analysis work had his subscribers buying gold in the low 1100s. And then a little later, 2018, Michael suggested that people should ante up some more, buy some more gold at $1,200. So looking back, you might have said woulda, shoulda, coulda, but this current based, I think the current basing area that we have seen now, I don't know, somewhere around $1,850 to $2,000, that, I think in the future this may be seen as another great buying opportunity. We'll hear what Michael has to say about that in a few minutes, but of course, most people only think in terms of the price of gold as denominated in their currencies, in dollars, in the case of myself. Most people don't understand that gold isn't gaining in value, but rather that the currencies against which they measure the price of gold and silver and other commodities is a self-destructing unit of measure. Hence, the need to protect your wealth by swapping your paper money, your fiat money, the money that you are forced to use by law, swap that into gold or silver, which, unlike fiat money, has tangible value that lasts as long as the good Lord allows this earth to exist. It has lasted for centuries, actually. So even though my personal portfolio is down a bit as a result of this pullback, I look at this basing period for gold and silver as a blessing for investors who recognize now, who recognize the need to own gold and silver, may not have gotten in back at those lower levels, but I think there's an opportunity now. Some of those people that are really starting to believe that they need to own some gold and silver, that's why I designed my course, Investing 101 Gold, Silver, and the Miners. And that course will be launched on Thursday, October 1, first day of October. And you can go to course.miningstocks.com to sign up for it, the course on October 1st. Even if you have some gold and silver, and I hope you do, that you have some in your possession, and maybe you haven't invested in the mining shares, so if that's the case, this course may be of value to you in that regard as well. I'd be using the experience that I've gathered over the last three or four decades in studying, analyzing, writing, investing about mining shares to pass that along in the course. And more importantly, Dr. Quentin Henning, who is probably the most sought-after exploration geologist in the world, at least certainly one of them, he is also providing some some information about what he looks for before he invests his time, his good name, and his money in various mining projects. So the show, so again, that is course.miningstocks.com, course.miningstocks.com to sign up for my newsletter, for my course that starts on October 1st. All right, with regard to today's show, I've titled it Rose-Colored Glasses or Reality. Lynn Alden, Michael Oliver, and Peter Ball return as guests. Legendary stock guru Richard Russell used to say that stockbrokers became wealthy because they didn't buy their own BS. Well, Washington and Wall Street are known for spinning tall tales of nirvana. They tell you how wonderful shares of stock are that they really can't wait to sell you. Wall Street's friends in Washington, I would suggest, are much of the same mindset. They also have a kind of snake oil that they can't wait to sell you. So not surprisingly, the Congressional Budget Office proclaims that there will be a V-shaped recovery with minimal future stimulus, and that federal debt as a percentage of GDP will quickly level off and remain level throughout the 2020s. Well, that really sounds like a rosy scenario to me. I do hope the CBO is right. Who in their right mind would not wish that to be true? But something is telling me that neither Michael Oliver or Lynn Alden, neither of whom are known to don rose-colored glasses, will see such a quick turn, a V-shaped recovery, if you will, back to normalcy. I hope that that happens, but I personally have my reservations, and we'll hear what Lynn has to say in the second half of today's show. We'll see what her prognosis is for the economy. And as I mentioned in the second segment, Peter Ball will be with me. He heads up NV Gold Corporation. NV Gold has three very exciting gold projects, two in Nevada and one in British Columbia. All three of them will be seeing some drilling done before the end of this year. So I think this is a story, a very low-cap company that I'm really excited about, and I'm eager to hear what Peter has to tell us in the second segment right after our first commercial break. But getting back to the question of whether or not we can look forward to a V-shaped recovery, I am happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me now to share his thoughts and on that topic and more. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
It's always good to have you back every other week. We can't get you every week. You're too much in demand, but we're glad at least we can get you every other week. So we've had this correction. Is it a correction in gold? And, you know, what do you think we've bottomed yet, or what are your thoughts on gold right now from a longer-term perspective?
Good chance that was the low. This is sort of a lesser version of what happened in March, which was really, it was also very short-lived. The sell-off in silver and gold miners in particular, gold didn't have such a hit then, but the gold miners and the silver market back then had this V-shaped sell-off and recovery that you could measure literally in days. And so what they took away in days, they grabbed it all back and then two and three times as much in the next several weeks. And I think that I hardly even call it a correction, because most of our momentum metrics, call it short-term metrics, peaked in August, early August, with the price high, which was, you know, 2070 on spot gold. But then you had this very sharp sell-off into mid-August that lasted about 2 days. You got down into the, I think it was about 1870, 1860 on the nearby contract. And then you shot back up and spent the next month or two going sideways in between the high and the low. So you really weren't selling off anymore. But then as you crept along in time, and again, we measure things in time, not just momentum measurements, but how long is the momentum chart going down? In the case of a weekly oscillator, to be going down for 6, 7, 8 weeks, while price is mainly going sideways, is aging the process, meaning the corrective process is accumulating age on the downside, and yet the bears couldn't make any ground on it until last Wednesday. They finally went down and punched out that August 11th, August 12th low by enough to take it out. So you could say, oh, I ran the stops, and no doubt they did. Silver did a comparable thing, only deeper. And so did the gold miners. They all went down and took out an obvious price chart low, and they're all back above it now. You know, it was like a quick sting, and then, boop, right back up into the prior range. Mm-hmm. So I tend to think that that might have been the low, and partly because of the age process. In other words, the sellers had been selling for like 2 months, and finally they made some money if they grabbed it. Right now, probably most of the sellers are about break even.
Right, so, right. And so, Michael, I mean, most people watch the charts, and I look at your work all the time, and most often, I mean, you're really basing your thinking on the momentum work, usually. So if your momentum is still looking strong, you're not worried. But other people are looking at the charts, and they're getting, you know, they're having nervy busts over the declines.
Well, you know, the long-term momentum, which is what our primary thing we try to focus on. That's why we call the bottom at 1140 in February 2016, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing in it, when you plot those charts, that is in danger of breaking. In other words, there's not even a trend structure, you know, where you could draw a line and say, okay, this is an uptrend or this is a floor, and there's not even one nearby. Therefore, usually the rule of thumb is this: if there's nothing to break, you're not going to change your trend. It has to be pretty obvious, like the bridge on the River Kwai. You can't blow it up and have it crash until they build it. And so there is no structure that's vulnerable on long-term gold charts. The only thing that looks vulnerable is the day-to-day action, which unfortunately too many investors are focused on. And I feel sorry for them, because if you jump every time they say boo, one time you're not going to get back in.
Well, more than one time.
You know,
And this is why you're so valuable to me as a longer-term investor in gold mining shares and other things as well. If you take a longer-term perspective, it's just very helpful to feel, you know, not to be able to sleep at night, not worrying about your position when you go to bed at night. So that's so helpful. What about the dollar, Michael? How's that looking to you these days?
The dollar's had a rally, basically. If you look at a dollar index daily chart, you'll see that it made a low about the same time gold made a high. And then the dollar had a bit of a rally, not much, insignificant, percent or so. And then it went sideways for about 7-8 weeks, just like gold did, off of its high, but went sideways. And then the dollar, 2 weeks ago, had a little surge finally. You know, where you could actually see it. And all the people talking about strong dollar came back on board again. A dollar strong. When you stand back and look at a dollar chart going back 40 years, it is an anemic looking beast. It's in a major downtrend. You have rallies here and there, but basically it's in dire straits. And the recent rally is insignificant. I think it's about out of gas. I suspect the dollar is going to roll over within a week or two and head back down again. And it may be coincident with gold flipping back up again. Not that they have to be totally inverse, but it might just be the case. So I don't trust the dollar rally. I think it's got a lot further to go on the downside. And realize dollar's trading around 93, 94 right now, dollar index. The high in March was 103. And to be 10% off of a high in several months, that's a big move for the dollar.
Yeah, downside. Better believe it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ray Dalio talks about how right now the dollar is in some trouble longer term, but there's no other major currency that you can go to, but people are going to stuff. They're buying commodities, they're buying gold, they're buying other tangibles. And I know that your position in commodities, your thoughts about commodities, you've been generally very bullish. What are your thoughts right now?
So, the Bloomberg Commodity Index, I would watch it, because this month's high on the Bloomberg Commodity Index was 73.9 something, just short of 74. If during the fourth quarter, which starts Thursday, we see the dollar index back up to 73.5, right now it's trading around 71. Because back to 73.5, which is does not even require taking out this past month's high, I'm going to engage quarterly momentum on the dollar index in a massive breakout. In which case, I think at that point, instead of the arm wrestling upside that the dollar, that Bloomberg has had over the last several months since March, it was down in the 50s, will become more explosive. And I think it'll become noticeable and become a headline in the financial press and be further wind at the back of gold.
So we're looking for a number of 0.735? Did I hear you correctly?
A couple points above where you are right now, 73.5 area. If you trade that number again, you just sort of return near this month's high during the fourth quarter, and I think it's for real. They're going to launch it. And my suspicion is, expectation is, the first leg up will take the Bloomberg Commodity Index up to around 110. Mm. Now, you go from 70 to 110 is a large
move. Wow, that's quite a move. That's quite a move.
Yeah.
Well, we know that the Chinese are supposedly buying lots of commodities, and including copper. So anyway, who knows what the – you're looking at the charts, and your work is just impeccable. It's just so valuable to me, Michael. And for all of you folks, you should be checking in with Michael and signing up for his service. It's olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com. Thanks so much for being with us again, Michael. And all the best to you and your family out there in the Rocky Mountains now. So take care.
Thank you, Jay. Bye.
All right, folks. Well, we do have to go to break now, but Peter Ball will be with us. He's of NV Gold. That's NV, the initials NV, not NV like a socialist. NV Gold Corporation. Peter will be with me right after the break, so don't go away.
Novo Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Novo has recently partnered with Sumitomo Corporation of Japan to evaluate, advance, and develop the company's Australian gold projects. With over $40 million in cash and $60 million committed from Sumitomo, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.